Hi, everybody. Welcome to my home. Dennis Prager here for my weekly fireside chat. Where are my trusty dogs? Are they here? No. Well, just trust me. We have trusty dogs and a trusty cigar. Life is good. Life is good if you make it good. It takes a lot of effort. There's luck. There's no question there is luck. By the way, I don't know, a lot of you may know me for my views on political matters, social matters, and so on, but I have just as many views and just as much work that I've done on what I call micro issues, personal issues. I have a book on happiness, for example. Got a number of PragerU videos on happiness. And they're related. They're related. Politics and happiness are very, very related. I have a motto, one of my many mottos. The happy make the world better. And the unhappy make it worse. And that's true. You think the people who join evil movements are happy? How does the combination of words happy Nazi sound? Happy communist? Happy ISIS member? You ever see an ISIS member smile? I haven't. These are profoundly miserable human beings. But it's true even in America, where we're not talking about Nazis, communists, or ISIS terrorists. It's true everywhere. There was a piece, I think it was in the New York Times, in fact, just this past week, about how much more happy Republican women are than Democratic women. Now, why is that? It's a very important subject. Why are conservatives happier than liberals, and the further left you go, the less happy the human being. Why is that? Well, here is my theory. Everybody, not everybody, there are a few people who walk between the raindrops. 98% of humanity has real challenges in life. Loved ones who die, illness, financial problems, marital problems, children problems. I mean, it's endless. Life is a challenge. So if you're unhappy, you really have two choices. Let's talk about America. In America, if you're unhappy, you have two choices. One is you can say, I'm unhappy because life is just inherently challenging and difficult. And I am going to make the best of it and conquer these difficulties. And I'm going to march on smiling. That's one possibility. The other is to say, I'm unhappy and America is the reason. Guess which one is right wing and guess which one is left wing. The further left you go, the more people blame America for their unhappiness. The people who take over presidents and deans' offices on colleges, these are not happy people. These are miserable people who blame America for their misery. Everybody has some misery. But again, you have your choice. Is it miserable because life has inherent misery or because America is racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, and bigoted? That's your choice. And the immature blame this wonderful society for their misery, and the mature understand that that is misery is inherent to life. And that's the reason that Republican women, and men for that matter, are happier than Democrat women and men. And the further left you go, the more unhappiness, misery, and blame you have. This is unbelievably important, and it is almost 100% accurate. There are always exceptions individually, but this is overwhelmingly the case. So the micro and the macro are really attached in that way. And happiness is a huge factor. Another time when I talk to you, I'll talk to you about another huge factor that people don't talk about much. Boredom. Boredom as the mother of evil. But that's another time. So time to take some questions, comments, etc. Bradley on Facebook. Hi, Bradley. How you doing? You're looking good. Dennis, what are your thoughts on Trump supporting the Keystone and Dakota pipelines? I have not understood the opposition to either pipeline, except as emanating from some sort of radical environmentalism. Most Native Americans, American Indians, don't care about the Dakota Pipeline. The thing was not an issue. By the way, just to give you one example. Remember the hysteria? Because all left-wing causes enter the realm of hysteria. There's no exception. Remember the hysteria over the Washington Redskins name? I mean, you're all old enough to remember that because it's just been in the last few years. Washington Post, New York Times, they couldn't believe that the owner of the Washington Redskins would keep such a racist name, the racist Redskins. There are sports reporters who would say only the Washington football team. They wouldn't even say Washington Redskins. Turns out the Washington Post, to its credit, I have to say, did a very, very complex and involved poll of American Indians, Native Americans, and found that overwhelmingly they could not care less about the name Redskins. The left, fomenting its usual anger, because they're angry people, and they're usually not terribly deep, they take on causes that are meaningless, like the term Redskins. Anyway, the pipelines are terrific. Carolyn on Facebook asks, Dennis, should we be concerned that President Trump is trying to undo so much of Obama's legacy through executive action instead of through Congress? First of all, he's undoing the executive actions. He's not undoing congressional actions of Obama. So that's the way you do it. If the ex-president overstepped his bounds, all he is doing, President Trump, is undoing those executive actions. There's no other way to do it in any event. Wouldn't it be easier for the next Democratic president to undo much of President Trump's agenda that's being done so far through executive orders? He's only doing through executive orders what President Obama did through executive orders. And it was a terrible, terrible precedent that President Obama set in doing so much through presidential executive orders. So all that Donald Trump is doing is not new things with executive orders, but undoing the executive orders that preceded him. Jan on Facebook, Dennis, do you want the Republicans to pass term limits on Congress? Do you think Trump would do it? Yeah, I'm for term limits. I think there are very few examples of somebody being very many years in Congress that it's benefited the country. There are examples, but by and large, it's not a healthy thing. Alicia on Facebook, Dennis, with the March for Life, I am curious, what are your thoughts on abortion? I did a whole video on abortion for Prager University, and I think that would be the best thing, the best way for you to understand my views. It's all they're all 5 minutes, videos on PragerU, so take a look at it. But in a nutshell, not that 5 minutes is not a nutshell, so this is a nutshell of a nutshell, sort of like one of those Russian dolls. Keep taking them out and finally getting into the littlest one. But I would say I don't understand the moral argument that a human fetus, I won't even say unborn, I won't even say unborn babies, I'll just say the human fetus, I'll use the left's language. I don't understand that any moral idea is dependent upon one person's belief, the mother. I don't understand that. There's no precedent. There's no parallel. There's no analog to this. It is infinitely precious if the mother wants it, and it is completely worthless if the mother doesn't want it. What doesn't make any sense? There's no moral basis. You don't have to be a believer. On rational, secular grounds, it makes no sense. Why not do it with the born? They did that through much of history. If the parents thought that the child was worth keeping, then they kept it alive. But if the child was born infirm, the Greeks, who were the fathers of rationality, said, expose the child to die. It's a big pain to have a child who's born with any deformity or infirmity. So I don't get the moral argument. I'm not even talking, forget pro-choice, not pro-choice. I'm not talking legality. On moral grounds, I don't get the left-wing position. There is no basis for it. If the mother says, I want it, then, and you kill it, you go to prison for murder. If she says, I don't want to give birth, it's a non-issue. Why? What is she, God? I don't get it. The narcissism is breathtaking. Sam, hi Sam, on Facebook asks, Dennis, I'm a high school student in my U.S. history class. My teachers and most of my classmates are leftists. How rare. They think that George W. Bush lied about WMD in Iraq and that the only reason we went was to steal oil. How can I respond to them? We have a video on that too, by the way. But just in a nutshell, so did Tony Blair, the Labour, that is left-wing Prime Minister of Britain, did he lie as well? Did almost every intelligence agency also lie? In the, almost every intelligence agency, not in the United States alone, but in Western Europe, they're all lying. The people who say that George W. Bush lied are lying. It's but ask them that. Mention the British Prime Minister and the and all the all of these intelligence agencies. Linda on Facebook, Dennis, when and how did you become conservative? Well, that's worthy of a long answer, but I'll try to give you another brief one. So here's the story. I was born in New York, a Jew, and went to Columbia. So that's a triple header for liberalism. In fact, on my birth certificate, it has gender male, party Democrat. In fact, they didn't even have to fill it in. It was just assumed that if you are a New York Jew, you are a liberal and Democrat. And they were right. I was a liberal and a Democrat. But by the way, I was never a leftist. I always knew the left is morally loathsome because they didn't fight communism, the greatest evil of the post-Nazi world. So I knew that the left was morally unsustainable and must be fought. But liberalism fought leftism. Liberalism fought communism. John F. Kennedy, Harry Truman, these people understood communism is the evil of our day. Read John F. Kennedy's Democrat, liberal. Read his inaugural address, 1961, how America has to fight these evils, and he's referring to communism. But then the left took over the name liberal, and they sullied the word liberal. I have nothing against liberals. I have everything against leftists. And so I was never left, but I was liberal and I was Democrat until Ronald Reagan. And then Ronald Reagan explained in one sentence or two sentences how domestically the left, or even liberalism in that regard, was a problem when he said, government is not the solution, it is the problem. And everything clicked from that, because the more power the government has, the more you undo the American Revolution. The only revolution in history, the only country in history to be founded on the idea that you limit government was the United States of America. The left is literally undoing the American Revolution with its ever-expanding state power. Peter on Facebook asked, Dennis, my daughter is in school and she was taught that the founders weren't great men, but were racist because they owned slaves. This type of revisionist left-wing history is the norm throughout American high schools. How can we fix this? Right now, it's pretty much unfixable. I would take my daughter out of the school. I believe that only school choice, where we'll have start charter schools that will actually teach moral clarity, or homeschooling are the only answers. Right now, most of our schools, and certainly virtually every one of our universities, is a moral wasteland. They were unbelievably great men who were flawed in having slaves. But here, again, you must understand that immaturity of thought is a characteristic of the left. What they do is they compare people of the past to people today. instead of comparing people of the past with other people of their generation. That is what you have to do. Everybody had slaves in human history. Everybody did. We have, do you hear our dog on the, you want to put Peanut on my lap? Maybe he'll get a little, we have a new dog here. We've adopted because his dad of many years passed away. So we have taken him in. Peanut, meet the audience. All right. Very good. He's a good boy. And he gets along with the other two who were here very well. It's very nice. Does this look a little silly with Peanut next to me? Where is this defined? Can you give a dog a cigar? Is that considered? Will I be arrested by the ASPCA or PETA? Okay. All right. Yes, you can come to me. Very nice. Good boy. So where was I? Oh, yes. You compare people in their day. Hey, what if 100 years from now, everybody's vegetarian? Will every good person of our day be regarded as evil because we ate meat? Why not? That may very well happen, that everyone is a vegetarian in 100 years. Slavery was ubiquitous. It was universal. Africans had slavery. Asians had slavery. American Indians had slaves. Islam had massive numbers of slaves. In fact, the word for black is the same as the word for slave in Arabic. But this is never taught. We act like Americans were unique in this way. It was universal slavery. So the question that mature people ask is not who had slaves, who abolished slavery. And that, my friends, was a Judeo-Christian invention of the Western world, the abolition of slavery. And we lost a lot of lives in this country to get rid of slavery, because I don't understand anyone who denies a fundamental truth. The Civil War was fought because of slavery, and it's very easily proven. Every Southern state seceded, and they issued a statement of secession. And the statement always, every single one of the Southern states that seceded said, it is because of slavery. Last question, Dallas on Facebook asks, Dennis, why is there such a political divide between Americans who live in cities and Americans who live in rural areas? Oh, I'm so afraid to tell you what I really think on this one. I'm not a city fan. It's the anonymity of cities doesn't make people better. I was reading, what was it? I was just reading this book. What is it? Guy wrote about his, not Hillbilly. Yes, what is it called?
Hillbilly Elegy.
Hillbilly Elegy. I'm reading that book. So he describes how he grew up in this very small town. And whenever a hearse brought a dead body through to the funeral home, people would stand up and just honor the person, even if they didn't know the person. Can you imagine that happening in New York or L.A. or any big city? It just doesn't. There are many wonderful things about big cities. Obviously, if you love concerts like I do, you're not gonna have the a symphony orchestra in a rural town. I understand that. There are good things that come from big cities, but there is an anonymity that produces less concern. There's more volunteering for the poor and for the sick in rural areas than in urban areas. Urban people think they're superior to rural people, but I don't know on what grounds they make that claim. Do they volunteer more time for the poor? Do they give more charity? Do they volunteer more time for the sick? Do they stand up for hearses that are passing by? They're more patriotic. They love the country in that way more than most urban people who think of themselves as world citizens, much more than American citizens. It is a real problem, the urbanization of society. It's an understandable one because there are so many benefits to urban life, and it is more exciting if excitement is what you're pursuing, and I understand that. It's an issue. It's a very interesting issue. Anyway, next time we'll talk about more. I'm Dennis Prager. Visit Prager University videos. Listen to my radio show. It's all over America and on the internet. And thank you for being with me. So from my home, bye-bye for now.